Oh, and by the way, you know, I've been in a mood all weekend long wondering, gee, is this the right sermon to be doing here? And so far during the service, I have just received so much confirmation from the Lord that this is the right sermon to be doing. And the reason I say that, I mean, Mark mentioned from Isaiah 51. And, you know, yeah. As Mark said, everything has just tied together so well this morning. And you know, when he talks about restoring the joy of your salvation, it's God's salvation. You know, he talks about your faithfulness. It's God's faithfulness, not ours. And so the reason I mention that is because in this sermon, I will have a few things for us to keep in mind, to keep doing. But it's too easy to get up in front of a bunch of people and tell them all the things you need to do. And it's like, oh, boy, is God never happy with anything? And of course, in Christ, everything has been made right. And we want to just, the more we experience him, the more we want to experience more of him, I guess is what it really comes down to. And so there are things to be doing if we wish to do that. So I just wanted to put that out there, that if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus, God is very happy with you. Right? He sees you through the perfection of his Son. So nothing you do can earn his love any more than what you've already got. But as we live in this life, and, okay, I'll get to it in a second here, because this morning's sermon actually took me a little while to put together. Yeah, I've been working on this sermon for 20 years. Well, yeah. Oh, yes, and that's why it's extra long today, just putting that in there, yeah. Well, no, the other day I was thinking about something, and we mentioned it last Sunday, and we'll put it up on the screen there, that verse, those verses from Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13. Are we leaving you back there to do everything, Michael? That's amazing. Okay. where it says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, right? And, well, okay, I get it. Part of that's through surgery. That's true. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And it was rolling around in my mind, this whole idea of preparing the way. Now, in the verses there in Hebrews 12, it's referring to preparing the way for people, making it easier for people. Not making it difficult for them, not making it hard for others to find their own personal relationship with Jesus, right, for themselves, not putting any roadblocks, not being a stumbling block, but doing everything we can to present Jesus truthfully and plainly in such a way that people can then make an honest decision about whether they want to follow him as well. But then I remembered something I had read many, many years ago about preparing the way for the Lord. And now, they were words from A.W. Tozer, of all people. I know, there we go, A.W. Tozer again. And I remembered actually using them in a sermon. Now, I preached this sermon at the church in Ayr. When I pastored there briefly about 20 years ago, like I say. And these words all kept coming back into my mind this week. And as they did, I realized, oh yeah, the church back then was just not ready to hear this message. All right, truth be told, I'm not sure I was even ready to preach it. I mean, it sounded right. It took the proper 55 minutes to deliver. No, it'd be less than that, sorry. But it just kind of flew out there, right? A little flat, and then disappeared into space. 20 years ago, it was not the right time. They weren't ready. I wasn't ready. But I believe today, we are ready. I can sound so dramatic when I want to, eh? Okay, a bit of a personal word for you. And by the way, I'm very serious when I tell you this. I realize it more and more. It seems like all my Christian life, over these last 45 years, everything that has happened to me, everything I've done, both positive and negative, but everything that I've done to prepare, so much of my accumulated life experiences, it's called getting old, but it all seems to have been meant for this time in my life, right here at Generations Community Church. Some of you are thinking, yes, he's right. Others are thinking, no, he's going for an Emmy Award with this performance now, but I'll see what you think. See if I'm on the right track. Now, they're inspired by words about John the Baptist, words he spoke and words that were prophesied about him. And while his life was short, one of the things that stands out regarding this remarkable man from the Bible, I mean, remember, Jesus said he was the greatest man who ever lived, right? The greatest man born of woman up to that time. And John said some things that were not only prophetic and significant for his generation in the first century, behold the Lamb of God, but also for ours in the 21st century, and maybe even at this time in our history. Now, perhaps by now, have any of you seen the movie Jesus Revolution? Anybody seen that yet? Right on. Okay, yeah, quite a few. It's brought back a lot of great memories, especially for the generation that lived it. And it has come out at a time when a lot of people are talking about, well, that revival down in Kentucky, right, at Asbury University. And then it seems to be spreading elsewhere as well, mostly among young people. And it's interesting that you would pray for them because, yeah, it's critical. I think God's reaching out to young people. May we do the same. And it's also caused people to now begin to think back, you know, and remember from the history books, things like the Welsh Revival back in the early 1900s. Now, the Waterloo Region worship events, that got postponed because of the snow, but people are itching to get back together again, right? Haven't been able to do that for a few years. An opportunity. People seem hungry for another movement of God. I mentioned in my weekly email, every Tuesday I try, I don't always, but usually on Tuesdays I join on Zoom the people from the different Sound of Faith radio stations in Kitchener, London, and Woodstock, and we pray for one another, and we were praying for different family situations with the people there at the different radio stations, but you know, we too have been praying here for family situations at Generations. And not exclusively for our young people, but quite a bit for our young people. At our Bible study last Wednesday, we spoke about that turnaround in the life of Esther and Mordecai, and really for the whole Jewish people of that time. God, right out of the blue, changed everything in a moment. Now, we never know when he's going to do such a thing. So when we meet somebody who, for instance, has said, well, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of this. I'm tired of the Christian life. We always say, no, don't give up. Don't give up. Not yet. Keep on keeping on. And it seems to me these days we need several turnarounds in our lives and in the lives of our family and friends, don't we? And we wait upon God to bring those about. And we keep encouraging each other as we do, right? So yes, if you know somebody ready to throw in the towel, tell them it's not the time just yet. Not the time ever to throw in the towel. Now this morning, I'm thinking of John the Baptist, and okay, we remember him perhaps for one of the greatest statements ever said by anybody. Every follower of Jesus will think about this several times in their life. I know it's not just me. But referring to Jesus, John said, he must increase, I must decrease. You ever said that? Jesus must grow more and more, I must grow less and less. Now, when we picture John in our minds, we think about this strange man wearing camel hair and eating locusts, wild honey. But he was out of step with his modern world. And I want to propose to you that anybody who wants to follow the ways of Jesus should be characterized as a person that just doesn't quite fit in with the regular crowd. Just out of step. We all should be marching to the beat of a different drum. John was called a forerunner. This is the one Jesus said about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Now, we're going to look at some verses in the Gospel of Luke. And if you want to turn there, just a few verses in chapter 3. Now, they'll be up on the screen as well. I just like to hear people flip through their Bibles. Now, if you didn't bring a Bible today, don't feel guilty. Bring one next Sunday. No, don't feel guilty. But there's just something neat about knowing your way around your own Bible, that's all. I'm sure you do at home. But as we look at these words in Luke 3, and I maybe even think you might even want to jot a couple things down. They're simple. I don't usually do this, but it was A.W. Tozer that inspired me with some of these points. But they basically come right out of the text itself. So even if it's just maybe you want to underline them in your Bible there in Luke 3. Or yes, if you're using an app somewhere with the Bible, you can highlight them in yellow or some other nice color. And as we read this, I want you to get a picture in your mind of a king. A king riding in a fancy horse-drawn carriage. Now, you know, 2 months from now, what is it, March? No, May the 6th. May the 6th, you're going to see one of those carriages on television if you happen to tune in to the coronation of King Charles III, right? They put him in that fancy carriage. And as we think about the carriage, well, maybe perhaps out in front, there's a forerunner, a messenger, running just a little bit ahead of the king's carriage. He's letting everybody know the king is coming. Let's read it, Luke 3, verses 2 through 6. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Some of your Bible translations will say in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Now, A.W. Tozer said some words from Isaiah the prophet, and as we think about this portion of scripture that I just read, here's what he said. He said, God is not in the business of building roads. Huh? No, God says, I am coming, you prepare the way for me, says the Lord. You build the road. Huh. Remember that picture in your mind? You know, the king comes riding in a carriage. And, well, you can think about a desert or a wilderness. Those wheels don't run too well on that kind of terrain. Big, fancy, you know, carriage wheels. Those big, giant ones. They need a smooth road to run on. And the forerunner is saying, you people need to make a decent road for this vehicle because the king is approaching. Okay, I said I might have something for you to write down. Okay, I got four things actually that are wrong with the wilderness, the four things that are wrong with the desert, four things that have to be done so the king can come. For you, for me, individually and corporately, even here at Generations Church. And God wants to show up even more than the way he has been showing up lately, because he has been showing up here, right? When we, you know, when Diane was mentioning the ladies' Bible study, I know he shows up there, and I know I hear some of the prayers you've mentioned that you pray there. He's shown up in some of our Bible studies. He's shown up in these services. He's shown up this morning. But wouldn't it be nice to have him show up even more? Okay, now I even prepared PowerPoint slides for this. All right, Michael, look at this. Yeah. Oh, it's very easy. It's some kind of template. But anyway, here we go. To prepare the way for the Lord. And it's not rocket science because it's right out of what we've just read. And so you can even underline it. But number one is this: make straight paths for him. There it is. Make straight paths for him. Some of the Bible translations will say, make his paths straight. And later on in verse 5, there's even that, you know, the crooked roads will become straight. There are paths that need straightening out. Now, only you know what needs to be straightened out in your life. I need to tell you, and I have enough trouble with the ones in my own life. But except I will encourage you as I encourage myself. If there's something that needs straightening out, maybe it's something between you and someone else. Or perhaps there's something a little crooked in your life, a habit, some other foothold you've allowed the evil one to have. All right? If the Lord's going to move in with blessing and power, there needs to be a straightening up of our lives. Oh, you already know you won't get any judgment from me, right? Let's all be working at this. And thankfully, God is not waiting for you to get everything right before he shows up. Praise the Lord for that. But still, as much as he may be telling you to do right now, make straight paths for him. That's number one. Number two, well, verse 5 of Luke 3, it says, every valley shall be filled in. So, number two, fill in every valley. And I've written holes for a reason here. Fill in every valley. Sometimes when a road is being built, the road builders need to fill in the ditches. They can't have any ruts. They can't have any holes for this carriage to navigate. Do you know, I still have not cleared off my driveway totally from about 2 ice storms ago. It was like concrete. I could not break through it. My car is sitting on top of it. Now, of course, as the time has gone on, there are some ruts. The other day, I drove my car into the driveway, and all of a sudden, the steering wheel just whee, because the tire hit a rut, you know, and it decided to go where it wanted to go. Maybe I'll get some warm enough weather to try and fix that. But I'd like to propose that we could think of holes, those spaces that need filling. Think of them as the things we don't do, right? Don't do as much as we should or as much as we used to. All right, here's where you usually think about Bible reading and prayer. When we discover holes in our life, now I've mentioned Oswald Chambers, his devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, written over 100 years ago. When it came to holes in our Christian life, he had a very colorful way of expressing it. He said, often, if we aren't careful, we'll notice something he called spiritual leakage. That paints a bit of a picture, doesn't it? Might just be a small hole, perhaps. You know, a leaky faucet. Maybe the eaves trough that it begins to drip whenever we get a bit of a thaw at this time of the year, and you look at it and you go, oh, yeah, I got to fix that, right? Things in our lives that just kind of seep out. And it happens very slowly, happens very steadily, but, you know, when we realize we haven't been spending the time in the Word like we want to or haven't been regularly praying. And usually what we'll do, or at least what I do, is I'll decide, I'm going to buy a book on that. I'll buy a book on how to pray. Or maybe we'll put together a seminar. Maybe we'll invite a really dynamic speaker to come in. Some of you are thinking about that idea right now. Maybe we'll get all the churches together. We'll get an evangelist to come. Yes, that'll spark things up. And yes, it might. That can all be good. But none of that stuff will work until we get more interested in, you know, obeying, or at least wanting to obey what we read and hear. So this will be very simple when I say it, but basically, and keep at it, but it's we stop doing the things we shouldn't be doing, start doing the things we should. Anybody could have preached this sermon. Hey, you want to know the secret of prayer, by the way? Just start praying. Just start praying. People will say, oh, I'm not very good at praying. No, the Holy Spirit is the one who takes your prayers and presents them to the throne. So just start praying. The Holy Spirit helps us. In fact, you know, I was just thinking, we'll mention this at the Bible study, Lord willing, this Wednesday, but March 15th, we were going to have a prayer meeting. But then Mary was reminding me, too, that's March break. So I don't know if we're going to take a break and push that off to the 22nd, but we'll talk about it Wednesday night. And if I forget to talk about it, you remind me. And you know what? I realize I need to be shortening some of these messages down. Yeah, I know. No one's going to argue about that. Not to let you get your coffee earlier, but hey, listen, maybe we need to have some time for prayer right here at the end of a sermon, say before we have the final song. Time to just pray for one another. Someone, well, we even talked about a couple Wednesday nights back. Someone needs healing for something. Let's pray for them. It's work. It's sacrifice to get on your knees and find that quiet spot. And you don't have to be some kind of Bible answer person, by the way. No, it's amazing how powerful just a few verses can become in the life of someone who's really seeking God. You can know the whole Bible and it'll do absolutely nothing for you if you're not willing to humble yourself before the Lord and ask him to help you obey what you find in here. Got to fill in those holes. And number three, also from verse 5, yes, the mountains and hills need to be made low. We had hills, now we have bumps. So if the holes are the things you should do but don't, got to fill them in. Oh, the theologians call that the sins of omission. Well, then the bumps, the mountains, the hills, we could think of those as the things we shouldn't do but are doing. Sins of commission is how they put it. You know, when we harbor or cherish a sin in our life, the Lord just can't come near to us the way he wants to. That's all. So to review so far, because I will have one more, to prepare the way for the Lord, we've got to make straight paths for him. We've got to fill in the valleys, right? Fill in those holes. The mountains and the hills in our life, they need to be brought down, those bumps. Every valley, make the crooked ways straight. You know, there are hills that maybe you've allowed to be built up. Sins you haven't asked forgiveness for, maybe not lately. The ones you haven't asked help in getting rid of lately because you've kind of just, I don't know, kind of got used to them being there. And then number 4, the last bit of verse 5. Make the rough ways smooth. Make the rough ways smooth. And when I think about smoothness, I think of words like humility, obedience, and grace. Grace almost sounds like the word grease, right? Something to lubricate things and keep them moving. Grace does that. Be especially humble and gentle. Completely so is what Paul says in Ephesians 4. He says to be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we make the rough ways smooth by humility, by gentleness, and by love. And then, as it says in Luke 3 and verse 6, we will see God's salvation. We'll see it more if we prepare to welcome it. Amen? Yeah, no, and God doesn't force his way on anybody. But to those who did prepare the way, Jesus came. He came with light, he came with health, he came with healing. Those who rejected him and remained blind and hard, they blasphemed him. And of course, they finally crucified him. We just end up ignoring him, right? Most people in the world today would say, oh, I got nothing against Jesus. He's just got nothing to do with my life. But we want him part of our life. He is our life. So what's keeping him from coming into your life? What needs to be cleaned up? What's crooked that needs to be straightened out? What holes need to be filled in? What mountains need to be shaved off? Are you rough or are you gracious and a little more smoother with your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Now remember, God isn't building this road. We've been doing that Bible study with Max Licato on the book of Esther. I think it's in his book, The Grip of Grace. But Max said that if there are 1,000 steps between you and God, God will take every single one of them except the last one. We have to still humble ourselves and submit to him. He won't do your repenting for you. He won't get right with your neighbor for you. But he's more than willing to move into the lives of every last one of us if we'll welcome him and make a path for him. A voice of one calling in the desert, in the wilderness. Now, as many of you know, I was in the kingdom of Jordan last spring. And it is nothing but sand and rocks. In fact, all the Star Wars movies were filmed over there. You remember, like, the driving that little flying vehicle through all that just barren stuff? That's all it is out there. Talk about a desert wilderness. But could it be argued, I think it can be, that we are living today in a wilderness, morally, spiritually, dry like a desert? But if enough of us keep preparing a straight path for the Lord, who knows what God will do? Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. It's simple in one sense, because you want to communicate with us. But then also, too, it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime that we spend. But Father, I just pray. I know there's so much been going on here. So many good things. I think of so many people. And Lord, there are burdens. There are burdens that are being shared. And Lord, we're asking you to deal in people's lives, to come through for people. Father, we don't want to waste your time and we don't want to waste our lives. You're either here or you're not. We believe you're here, and we want to see more of you. Holy Spirit, come. We sang it. You're welcome here. You are welcome here in however you wish to come. Lord, we do not want to be a church that leaves you standing outside the door knocking. Come in. Come in. And Lord, I'm just thinking now, maybe there's some people, even as we're praying, Lord, maybe there's something you brought to their mind about something that needs to be straightened up, something that needs to be filled in, something that needs to be done that maybe they've forgotten to do now. Some people right now, Lord, are maybe even promising that from this day forward and with your help, they'll begin to do the things maybe they stopped doing. Help us. Help us, O Lord, every one of us. God, help us. You know, and in my email this week, I ended with those words of Habakkuk. I don't know how you pronounce them. But let's make it our prayer. Lord, we have heard of your fame. We stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time. Make them known. For the sake of your kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.